Hello and welcome to 9-Inch Charge. Welcome to the Old World Show, where we're going to talk about something that we haven't ever talked about before. We are going to talk about the dwarves. Now, me and Tom both love dwarves. I recently just finished Prince Mesa, which is a story set in Age of Sigmar, but there's a dwarf sidekick in there, and he is, what do they call them? What do they call the dwarves that are normal dwarves in Age of Sigmar?
He's dispossessed,
and he's brilliant. He's like, I'm not interested in the fire slayers. They're bloody maniacs setting themselves on fire. I'm not interested in the Caradhron overlords, because why on earth would you have sky above your head and sky above your feet when you can have good, trusty, reliable, hard rock? So he's really got me in the mood. Dwarves. And of course, Tom, you are famous for your dwarf army that you had in 8th edition.
Well, let's not say famous. I had one cannonball shot that was famous.
Why didn't you open up by telling us about the famous cannonball shot?
I was playing against some Dark Elves, and during my opponent's deployment phase, they decided to line up a bolt thrower, a Hydra, and a Dreadlord, all in a perfect line. And I was just like, well, I'm going to shoot 10 inches from the back of that Dreadlord. Rolled the 10, so it hit him automatically. Rolled a 6. He rolled his Savior, rolled a 1. Rolled a 6, killed him and his mount. It's a Dreadlord on the Dark Pegasus. Rolled into the Hydra. Same thing with the Hydra. 6-6. And then rolled into the Bolt Thrower. Took that off the table. In the first turn, I must have taken off like a good 500-600 points of models with one cannonball shot.
I can remember it. And to be fair, Jeremy, I think he had moved the Dreadlord up, but the way it looked, it was like a bit oblique. I know it sort of...
Yeah.
I don't know if you're suffering from like parallax, like when you look over at something at an angle, you don't quite see how it's lined up.
Yeah, you don't see it.
Because it didn't look obvious. I was playing on another table, but just looking across, it didn't look that obvious to me. And then when you line it up, it's like, oh my goodness, it does.
What's it does? It's like
yeah. The stars have aligned. The ancestors have lent their strength.
Yeah, that was class. That was a really tough game, though. Despite that, it was a real tough game.
Well, Dark Elves are always treacherous and sneaky and difficult to play against. And Jeremy is a good general.
He's a good general.
Yeah, I can see. All right. So today we're going to talk about our favorite dwarven units. So lore will come later on. We still have to do orc lore, actually. So it will be dwarf units, orc lore, then dwarf lore will kind of leapfrog it. And eventually we're going to talk a bit about before too long, we want to look at the Horus Heresy release in a bit of detail and then talk about how we think that may influence or tell us what we might know about the release of the Old World game when it comes out. But stay tuned. They'll come. You know, it's all in the works.
Yeah.
All right.
You're so getting back on it.
Yeah. I've picked... Let's say this is season two. This is season two, episode one. We've had our break. We're back for season two of the Old World. So I've picked a few units, and the problem is, as soon as I started picking units, I was like, oh, that's good, oh, that's good, oh, that's good. And then I thought, how could I have forgotten this guy? My first choice is Joseph Bugman. The reason I've chosen both Joseph Bugman is because of Warhammer World. Purely and simple, because... there is in Nottingham a real life Bugman's Bar that sells Bugman 6X beer. And you can buy, or you used to be able to buy a little model of him. And he was like rested on some barrels. And I just thought that was really cool that was brought to life. And you could have a little piece of the Warhammer world where you go into the bar and there's like an orc hide on the wall and a map of the old world. And it's changed a bit now. The map of the old world is gone, and it's replaced with a map of Akshi, I think, possibly. Yeah. Or it might be Gur. I think it might be Gur. And then also you don't get Joseph Bugman, you get Josef Bugmanson, who is a Carajon ripoff. But we know that there's only one true Joseph Bugman. So he's my choice. He was an infantry special character, and he was a scout, believe it or not, and he had Bugman's Rangers. So any army that includes Bugman can upgrade a single unit of Rangers to be Bugman's Rangers. If this is done, Bugman must join the unit and he cannot leave Bugman's Rangers, and they have a weapon skill of 5, ballistic skill of 4, strength of 4, and cost an additional 3 points per model. But what was really cool about Bugman were two things, really. First, he had an enchanted item that was his tankard, and Bugman or a single model in the same unit drink from Bugman's tankard at the start of any friendly turn. And the Imler immediately recovers D3 wounds, but cannot surpass his original wounds characteristic. So a bit of hearty ale is what you need when you're down and you've taken a wound or two. I thought that was cool. And the other rule that I thought was really cool was liquid fortification, which is as long as Bugman is alive, roll 2d6 at the start of each friendly turn and consult the following chart to see what effect he has upon himself and any unit he has currently joined. So you roll your 2d6, and if you get a 2, it's bad brew. This ale doesn't really work for you. Guzzling it produces detrimental effects and an unpleasant nature. Each member of the unit gains the flammable special roll until the start of the next friendly turn. 3 to 9 is belligerent. Unit works itself into a fit of remarkable cantankerousness, and the unit gains the stubborn roll until the start of the friendly turn. And then if you roll a 10 to a 12, then the unit becomes leathered, and down the ale prestigiously, the unit becomes almost immune to pain, if not sensation altogether. each member of the unit gains +1 toughness until the start of the next turn, because they're just that drunk, they just don't even care or mind. They just go charging in. So he's my first choice, and as I said, it's pretty purely and simply because of Bugman's Bar and all my memories of drinking at Warhammer World and the 6X and all the different beers that they brew. That's choice number one. How about you, Tom?
My choice number one is the hearty dwarf warrior. No throng is complete. Yeah. No throng is complete without a dwarf warrior. In my army, I painted everything a little bit differently to represent different families. And although uncommon, I didn't want them to be bound by blood. I wanted them to be bound by their experiences in battle. So it was a band of brothers, if you were. And my army always started, everybody started off in the Thunderers or the Quarrelers, and they'd eventually move on to their different postings, like a Dwarf Warrior, and I just took them in every list. Regardless, I'd always find points. If I had to take out something that was optimal, so be it. It's going to have Dwarf Warriors. They're really cool, really cheap points as well. They're 7 points a model. You get a hand weapon, heavy armor. I'm trying to find the stat line now. Books all over the place.
Well, I know it'll be toughness 4 because they're damn tough, them
dwarves. Yeah, they are. I won't read. There it is. Found it. So they're movement 3, which you're a dwarf. You're not moving anyway. It doesn't matter. Weapon skill 4, which is incredible. For 8 points a model. Ballistic skill 3, you're not shooting. Strength 3, but there's a rule that can change that a little bit. Toughness 4. Initiative 2, you're the same as an ogre. But it can take great weapons or shields, which is excellent. 10-point great weapon in Warhammer Fantasy is ridiculous. And there are some shenanigans you can do to make sure you get a charge. And because they've got the Resolute special rule, they get +1 strength from the turn they charge. That is a strength 6 weapon, great weapon, smacking you in the face. And they're phenomenal. They look really cool on the table. They're just that unit that looks boss. Love the Dwarf Warriors. I never go anywhere without them. Except I've lost mine somewhere. They're in one of the many cases of Warhammer I have.
You've got to dig them out, Tom. I've been trying to encourage Tom to dig out his Warhammer Fantasy because I'm getting ever so close. I mean, look, Glade Guard.
I don't want to say
the dwarf loves more than besting an elf, so
yeah,
you have to try and find
true.
Yeah, that's a very cool unit choice. For me, the infantry type that always stood out to me, I mean, there's so many infantry types that stood out to me. I mean, the Slayers are really cool. I really like the Miners because I always think of dwarves as being Miners. But the unit for me that I really, really liked was the Longbeards, because for me, a Longbeard kind of typifies what I tend to think of as a dwarf, because they've got the old Grumbler's special rule. Yeah. And I always think of dwarves as stocky, hardy, trustworthy, but above all stubborn and a bit grumbly. You know, they like to, they don't mind telling you what they think is wrong with the world, do they, the dwarves?
Dan, I just want to say you are a long bit. If you were a dwarf in a dwarf army, you would be a long bit. That's why you love them so much.
They're not afraid of strong opinions, are they? That's
they're not.
So what's cool about them is that they're immune to psychology because they've just been there and done that. They've seen everything. If, you know, if a tree man or a dragon or whatever kind of monster comes along, they probably just think, oh, another one of these, eh? And just get stuck in. They're not going to get phased by anything. They're weapon skill 5 and leadership 9, which is great. And they have the raw old Grumblers, and a dwarf unit with a special rule are not fleeting. Any friendly dwarf units within 6 inches of Longbeards can reroll failed panic tests. And I always like this because they're like the core center part of your army. They're not going anywhere because they're immune to psychology, and they kind of rally around. And I feel like, I don't know if this is written in the lore or not, but I feel like the dwarf warriors want to fight their hardest and do their best in front of the Longbeards and kind of prove themselves to them, because the Longbeards are the ones who have already proved themselves. And I think that's why they grant that reroll failed panic test, because you're not running away in front of one of them. What are they going to think of me? Next time I'm down the tavern, they'll be like, oh, here he comes. I saw him fleeing at the fight, you know, whatever. So I've picked them. If I just go to their profile, we'll have a look at their weapons and stuff that they carry, because I've just kind of skipped over all of that because I just want to talk about how cool they are, really. So let's have a look at Longbeards, if I can find them, which I can't.
I've got them here.
Ah, perfect.
I've got them here. They're movement 3, as just every dwarf is movement 3. Weapon skill 5. Which is mad for a core choice. Ballistic skill 3, strength 4, toughness 4, initiative 2, 1 attack, leadership 9. They've got ancestral grudge, which means they've hatred orcs, goblins, and Skaven. They're immune to psychology, so they don't care about fear or terror. They've got the old grumbler's rule that you just spoke about. Relentless means they can always march. Resolute and shield wall, which are two really cool rules that I want to dig into in my next choice quite a bit.
Okay, so we'll talk about that in the next choice. And of course, as we said, they can carry shields and they can carry great weapons. What's cool is you can have both. So they do become expensive then, become 15 points a model. But in the when they're not in combat, they can carry their shields and they can have a 4+ save because they're heavy armor. And then they just sling them over their backs, pull out the great weapon, and then all of a sudden, they're strength 6.
Yeah, if they've charged their strength 7. Not. It's not.
All right.
Oh. Right.
What's your next choice?
I think these are my absolute favorite. Because when you're in heavy armor and you see a hurricane coming, you have to move out the way. But when you're in Gromwell armor with a shield, you can fight the hurricane. You can win. The Iron Breakers are absolutely incredible. When I saw these models, I just like, I think I brought 5 boxes of them, just like, I'm having all of these, and this is it. They're my favorite unit in the whole army by far. Hand weapon, shield, Gromwell armor. So 3+ save on book. Yeah. He's got Ancestral Grudge, which is the hatred of everything. Relentless, which is, you know, pretty cool to have if you want to march him forward. Resolute, +1 strength if they get to charge. They probably won't, but there are some cool things you could do. These can get you that charge. And Shield Wall of Grumrill, which is, you always get an extra parry save. So it's not a 5, 6 plus parry, it's a 6, 5 plus parry all the time in combat. So you've got a 3+ armor save, 5+ parry save. You put a special character in there. You put a 5+ character in there with a Oathstone. They get a 5+ parry all the round. So in every direction, they're just like flinging their shield up. That shield wall isn't moving. Pretty. They can't take any great weapons, but that's not what they're there for. I've put 10 of these in front of a horde of orcs, and they've just stood and stood and stood until the last one was alive and it finally got chopped down. But it
what stopped we're saying an orc is, horde. Basically, they're like the best anvil unit in the game.
They are the anvil. Yeah. To break that hurricane. That's what I love. 14 points a model is a bit pricey, but free up armor save. 5+ parry. I mean, you could give them runic standards as well, but that's a whole other video.
Yeah, they're very cool.
There's too many combinations. I love them.
Stout and not moving and just, yeah immovable.
Yeah, that is brilliant. Just what a dwarf is.
I think. I was thinking they're a good anvil unit, but I wonder. Obviously, they do have like the hammer units, but they didn't have a lot that was fast. So, what would you try? Like, you've got something holding up the middle line, but then what are you trying to get around the edges?
Yeah.
It's difficult to think, isn't it? Really, with
the thing they're just it doesn't matter if you hold up their horde, you shoot off everything else, and then by the time the Iron Breakers have died, everything else has just reformed, and now it's just shooting what's left of that horde.
Yeah,
that's what I'd do. Or get two. I've done it multiple times. I've done 2 units of hammerers, 10 units of 10 hammerers, and a center block of 20 with a lord with an oathstone. Just moved it up, blocked whatever was coming, and just gone around the sides. Like hammerers. You don't want hammerers.
That's very cool. Very, very cool. Oh, what am I going to choose next? I just don't know what I'm going to choose next. So I've got a list of what I chose. And the more we talk, the more I just think, oh, but what about that? Oh, but what about that? So
yeah.
I was going to choose Gyrocopter. So I'll stick with the Gyrocopter. And the reason that I chose it is because it just shows really good dwarven engineering. Because you do have other races, you know, the humans are tinkering around with machines and things now. But, you know, the original and best engineers is anything dwarven made, isn't it? And I think it goes to show in the fact that they were able to make a bomber in the old world. And
yeah.
So I'm not choosing the Gyro Bomber. I like the Gyrocopter. The reason I like the Gyrocopter is because that was the one that was around first. And when I was in my school days, there was only the Gyrocopter. Then they brought out the new dual kit, which was cool. And it's nice to see a bit of dwarven innovation go further. But for me, it's always the original Gyrocopter. So toughness 5, 3 wounds, a 4+ save, and it's flying around. And it's just, it's really useful because it's very mobile and the dwarves don't have a lot of that, so it can get in the way and cause a bit of interference. And also, it's got a steam gun on the front, which is a strength 3 armor piercing, but you can upgrade it to be a brimstone gun. And there's a really cool bit of artwork that shows the brimstone gun firing, and it looks almost like a flamethrower because it's just like steam turned up to 11. So it's a modified version of that, and it's like what the Iron Drakes have. And it's 18-inch range, strength 5, armor piercing, dwarf crafted, flaming attacks, multiple shots d3 and quick to fire, which I thought was really cool. The steam gun is also cool against certain things because it's a template weapon. It's only strength 3, but if you want to burn some elves, which unfortunately I collect, they're toughness 3, so you could just lay the template down, like Glade Guard, for example, have no armor, and it's just 4s and you're gone.
Yeah, I got one just to take care of Shadow Warriors because he started doing my head in. So I messed
it and also that. It had the rule dive bomb, which I don't remember, so I'm going to read it. Once per game during the remaining move subphase, models for this special rule may drop bombs unless they are fleeing or have declared a charge that turn. To dive bomb, select one unengaged enemy unit that the gyrocopter has moved over that turn and determine the damage by the bomb's roll and artillery dice. This is the number of hits inflicted. If a misfire is rolled, the gyrocopter takes a single wound with no saves allowed, and the bombs are strength 3 armor piercing. So that's cool, like a potential 10 hits for the bomb.
It's really cool. I never used it, but you used it a lot in Sigmar. I really like the gyrocopter. And you can have 12 of them in a grand army. Like, for less than 1,000 points, you can have 12 gyro bombers.
You could paint them all in like the livery and do like the Battle of Britain. You could have like your Lancers, bombers and your Spitfires. And get them in formation and just fly them out over the enemy.
That's sick. That's a really cool idea. I'm doing it now.
You should at least do like one bomber with like an escort wing of 2 gyrocopters. If you do that, you can have my gyrocopter.
I had 2 of them. Yeah, I'd have to airbrush them. It wouldn't be that.
No, I recently painted some World War II planes, and once you mask them and do your spraying, they're basically done. And then the underside is like Space Wolf Grey or something, and then you're done.
Easy money.
So there's an idea. For my last unit choice.
Hey, I don't do a unit. You've done 2.
Oh, sorry. Go on. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, I've got a unit. I'm torn. So I really want to talk about hammerers. But I really want to talk about Iron Drakes. I'm going to talk about Iron Drakes because they were new in the edition when I picked up the book, and these were another one I brought. I think on release day I was just like, give me all your boxes of Iron Drakes. And these guys are incredible. They're essentially walking around with flamethrowers, if you can imagine that, and it's disgusting. They're really fun. So what is an Iron Drake? An Iron Drake is a dwarf in fireproven Grombril armor, I think it's called.
I love them. I love the way they look. They're just like encased in metal, aren't they?
Yeah, they are encased. It's the only way to describe it. I try to find their special rules because they've got a million of them. Forge proven Grombril armor. So it's a 4+ armor save with a 6+ ward, which is incredible, and a 2+ ward save against flaming attack. So it's just like cheap banner of the world dragon if anyone's carrying a load of flame, but they're probably not.
No, banner of the eternal flame is what you're thinking. Banner of the world dragon is the I'm immune.
Is the 2+ against magic, but this is only a 2+ against flame. Yeah, see. And don't get it all. Don't all get to be high elf. And yeah, so they specialized in tunnel fighting, just clearing all of the tunnels of goblins, skaven, rats, anything that moves. And this is what these guys do best. And their Drake gun is an 18-inch range, strength 5, armor piercing, dwarf crafted, which is you ignore the -1 to stand and shoot, flaming attacks. So if anything's flammable, you're in for a lot of pain. And it's quick to fire, so you can move them up all 3 inches and shoot. Which is really cool. So they've got
what's the range?
A 21. It's 18 inches. So they've got a 21-inch threat range. Which isn't bad.
I think they're brilliant. I always used to think that Dwarven weaponry didn't have a long enough range. It was the only thing.
Yeah.
Because I always used to carry longbows, which were 30 inches, and then I'd know you'd start the game 24 inches away from your opponent. So that they've got an 18+3-inch range 21, if you give the first turn to the Dwarven player, they're not going to be able to do anything in that first turn.
Yeah, they can. they have ways to Vanguard through magical runes. So this is what I did in a really cool game. No.
As a dwarf, you're going to want your opponent to march on you. So you can just wait it out.
You can, because you can outrange stuff with artillery, can't you?
Yeah, the only thing is, I just wish that it were
21. It'd be nice.
Because then you could get toe-to-toe with the thing that you're opposite on the battlefield, potentially.
Yeah. So one thing I did do against a Orcs and Goblins player, which was I thought was hilarious, I took a big unit of 20, and it just like took up the whole center of the table. I gave it a banner for Vanguard that it moved up 12, and then I had a BSB in there with a three-tiered rune of slowness, which you subtract d6 inches from their charge whenever they charge you. The next one is you roll two dice and picks the highest. So his stuff was trying to charge in, and every time it's just like 2d6, they didn't make it, but I'm going to stand and shoot. And then my turn, I'm going to open up with all my artillery and my guns and everything and take a little step backwards so you're not as close. And they just keep that going for as long as I could. And yeah, they didn't get touched somehow. They just stayed in the center of the board, firing, blowing everything up.
I love the thought of them, the imagery of them, like you said, like clearing out areas of dwarven holds or in the mines, just like a unit of them just marching forward through like soot and darkness all around them. Then all of a sudden they just lit up by the flame of their gun, and all you can see is just like red and orange reflecting off their armor as they just burn stuff, and screams coming out like and then, like rats squealing and stuff. Yeah, very, very cool.
They were my favorite. All of the units are my favorite.
Yeah, this is it. This is the more we do these videos and we have to talk about units that we love, the more difficult it becomes, because there's just so many. I was talking to Luke from Cinderfall Gaming earlier today, actually, because he's got to come on to do the second half of the Wood Elf one, which we'll probably record in a couple of weeks, but we're going to do Wood Elf units. And I can't pick them. It's just impossible.
No.
All right. Well, we're just about coming up to time. So do I have time for one more? Shall we call it?
I think we should call it. I just want to say about this book, because I'm going to filibuster now. Filibuster, saying it, that it was so cool that they gave you so many diverse ways to play the dwarfs. You can play a really aggressive dwarf list just like in your face, because you can take multiple of the runes. You can give everybody Vanguard and have an army that Vanguard's up. The enemy moves up to meet you, and then you have stuff like Rangers, Miners, Gyro Bombers, Gyro Copters coming in behind, just wrecking everyone. You don't have to have an artillery piece. It's no longer the dwarf castle that sits on a hill where you think, oh, I've rolled my six for a deployment. I'm going to choose the one with a hill. I want that corner because it's got a hill. You don't have to do it anymore. That's why I tell it. Because you could do really unexpected things. I've got to do dwarfs again. It's made up my mind. I'm doing dwarfs for Old World. They're coming out. I'm going to find them.
Get back in those boxes behind you and start digging them out, because there are some beautifully painted dwarfs in there. And I loved all the different coloured shields you did and stuff.
Yeah.
And it'd be nice to get some pictures up on the community page on Facebook as well. But more important than that, let's get a petition going for Tom to do a Battle of Britain squadron or a flyover for his army. So that would be just something really cool, wouldn't it?
It would be.
All right, so that's Dwarven Units. Let us know in the link below what the best unit you think is and what the best unit that we have missed is. And also let us know why that unit is Slayers. And
very cool.
We'll be back for Orcs and Goblins lore, for absolute mayhem and mischief in the Old World. And then we'll be back at some point, either for what do we think the new edition will look like on release, or we'll do some more chat about
dwarves. Do more chat about dwarves. We're getting a part two going.
All right, well, thank you very much for watching. It's good to be back Thank you and welcome to season two. All new and improved, but somehow yet the same.
Yeah.
All right.
That's a proper season two.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for watching. Please be sure to leave a comment and let me know what you think. I do read every single comment. If you've enjoyed this video, please be sure to give it a like. And if you'd like to see more content like this in the future, please consider subscribing to the channel. And if you'd like to take the conversation even further, you can join the 9 Inch Charge Hobby Hangout Group on Facebook. This is a place for us to come together as a community and encourage each other and chat about our hobby. And feel free to share your models, thoughts, ideas, or ask any questions that you may have. There's a link in the description below. And if you'd like to support the channel, you can find a link in the description to our Patreon page, or you could become a YouTube member. And you can also support the channel by using the affiliate link we have to Element Games. They have a really extensive hobby range. I'm sure you can find anything that you are looking for on there. And they also sell it at a discount to Games Workshop. And if you use the affiliate link, we get a small amount of commission back that we can use to put back into the channel. As ever, this has been 9 Inch Charge. Thank you very much for watching, and I will catch you next time.